If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
720 WGN, thanks for joining us. I'm Lisa Dent. Tom Skilling is back for the new year. It's going to be a short year for you, Tom.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is. But lots of fun, and it will be fun even after the upcoming retirement. Lisa, I intend to continue talking with you at times and keeping in touch. So I can't lay my friendship with Lisa Dent aside, you know, or life wouldn't be worth living.
So. Oh, I love you, Tom Skilling. And that just brings such a big smile to my face to think that, you know, you'd pick up the phone and call us because, you know, we will answer that call and put you on the radio anytime you want to join us. But you're facing a new year with freedom to do what you want to do as you see fit. And I think that's the greatest joy that anyone can experience after a beautiful career.
Well, you know what? There are things I'd like to do. And being free to the day-to-day broadcast responsibilities, I may be able to pursue some of these.
Yeah.
So I'll share these with you as they come online here, Lisa, and I'll tell you what the plans are. But, it's going to be different. I'll tell you that. I've worked since I was a teenager. So this will be a very, very different life. That's for sure.
Yes, it's going to be an exciting year for you, and I'm glad that you're here to kick it off with us. I saw a weather term today, and I thought, okay, there's another weather term that I'm not real sure what it is, but I saw people using the term snow tornado.
Oh, well, those happen. I don't think they're quite, they don't fit the mold of the conventional tornado. But you get circulations and vortices that pick up snow and send it airborne, and it looks like the real McCoy, you know, except you have snow swirling around in it.
Huh.
And, these winds, they kind of blow in little segments, and sometimes there's a rotary characteristic to them. If you get air to rise, the air running in to fill in for the air that's rising through the atmosphere will begin to rotate, and if you're over a snowfield, you'll pick some of that up and throw it through the air. So that has been known to happen.
Interesting. I think they were talking about Alaska. I'm unsure, but I just kind of caught my eye, and I thought, well, I can totally visualize what a snow tornado is. I'm not sure if I've ever witnessed one here in the Midwest.
No, I suspect we've seen fewer of them here. You know, up in Alaska, you have these incredible terrain effects that contribute to the unusual wind fields. I once asked a pilot up there on one of my trips, I said, how do you know, flying these little planes through these mountain valleys, it would seem to me this is really scary. He said, well, you learn to read what you see. The snow blowing off the tops of mountains and all tells you a great deal about how the wind is blowing. And I thought that was very interesting. It's a great way to keep track of the wind.
So do we have any kind of snowstorm developing that we're going to see in the next couple weeks?
Ah, well, this is interesting because this has been the season without a big snowstorm. We've had only about a third our normal amount of snow to date, and that's typical of an El Nino winter. But El Nino winters are not totally without snowstorms. There are just fewer of them. And I'll tell you, we've got a system we started watching last week on our models, which is going to spin up and come into the Midwest next week. Now, there are many questions about where precisely the rain snow line in this will lay out and its heaviest snow, but there definitely seems to be some kind of system spinning up. It's way out in the Aleutian Islands now, and it's affecting southern Alaska. There's a 190-mile-per-hour jet stream level wind max with that, and that thing will rotate down through the eastern Pacific into the western United States and bring a storm with it, and that'll jump across the mountains early next week and start plugging into Gulf moisture and then make the turn out of the Texas Panhandle up toward the Midwest. So that, you know, that's the kind of weather system you watch like a hawk. And again, I stress it's too early yet in this day and age of social media. They put out, you know, somebody posts an early computer snow forecast. They're not trustworthy at this distance. You see somebody putting that up, question it. It's not carved in stone. But the point is, we will, as we get closer to this in the week ahead, be able to refine things like where the snow will be and how much. And it sure looks like we might be close to it. And the period in question, Lisa, is next Monday night, Tuesday night, maybe Wednesday morning. If we're going to get something in the way of a storm, that will be the one. There's another one that will pass south of us over the weekend, might brush us with a little light snow or flurries. And we have some flurries on the way tonight and tomorrow with a little cold front. It'll kind of tighten the cold air's grip on us later this week. This week will wind up about 11 degrees cooler than last week. And next week we'll shear another 5 degrees off the average temperature. So it's getting a little more wintry around here, and yet still with the 11 degrees cooler this week, we'll still come in a little above normal for this time of the year.
You know what, Tom? Something you said perked my ears, and that is what appears to be media trying to use social media to get clicks. And I can only imagine that there are some entities that prize social media clicks over their own meteorological departments, you know? And you're right, because I have seen people posting stuff saying, here's the map, here's where the snow's coming. And there is no truth to it. They're simply speculating, right?
Yeah, and you know, another thing to keep in mind, I've seen local folks here put up 20-inch snowfall forecast maps. Well, think about that for a second. First of all, the machines generate those kinds of forecasts once in a while. But we've had perhaps two and maybe three 20-inch snowstorms in our entire history around here. So if you start forecasting something like that, as some of these folks have put these crazy maps up early, you're predicting a record snow event. And, you know, the fact is the reason it's a record is because it doesn't happen very often.
Right.
So anybody who starts putting inches out 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 to 8 days ahead of time, you know, question it. It's a little early yet.
They should take away their, is there a license to practice as a meteorologist?
No, but we do have ways to evaluate and indicate professional evaluation of forecasters. You know, you see these seals and so forth. There's an exam involved with that and a review by colleagues of your work. So that's one way to check. I think, too, just stick with reliable sources. You know, it's
right.
Like all information we get on the Internet. When you talk about climate change, stick with the scientific agencies that do that sort of stuff. They're credible, they're peer-reviewed, and therefore people are watching the, you know, the caliber of the material that comes out from these places. And the same is true of snow forecasts. Any snow forecast 3, 4, 5 days ahead of time with inches on it is really highly questionable, and all the studies, the majority of them, shown that these don't always work out. So don't get too frightened by these that far ahead of time. On the other hand, watch this thing early next week. If we're going to have some trouble with the weather system, this is the kind of system you'll keep your eye on. You know, it could peter out between now and then. We've got a week to go, but we'll keep you posted on it.
Tom Skilling is with us right now. Mary has the look at current conditions and traffic. 720 WGN, thanks for joining us. Tom Skilling is brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems. At least that's who sponsors our conversation. And he is with us every Tuesday. And how was Christmas for you, Tom?
Oh, it was awesome. I worked on Christmas, but, you know, the station's really nice. They give us a lovely meal, and it's kind of fun. You know, the pace is quieter on Christmas. And same thing on New Year's. It was great. How about yours, Lisa? Did you have a good time?
You know what, Tom? My Christmas table is still set with all of my favorite dishes and the flowers and
awesome.
Everything. I tested positive for COVID at 8 a.m. on Christmas morning.
Oh, no.
And everybody.
You know, my roommate.
It's brutal.
Lewis. Same thing. That's going around again. Were you sick or was it a light case?
I think today is the first day I've really been out of bed in a week, you know?
Wow.
Kind of miserable. But
sorry.
Thank you. Everybody, I sent my husband a text and I said, because we guessed, I was so miserable Christmas Eve, and I sent him a text and said, it's positive. And you could hear the cars start up one by one, room, room, like everybody got up and left the house. Everybody was like, we're not sticking around for this. And thank God they didn't arrive until about 9:30 on Christmas Eve. So nobody got sick from me. And that was that was the best news. So,
well, that's wonderful. We had a group of 12 over, and one of the people there called us to say, "Ooh, I tested positive for COVID." So that immediately sent us all the home COVID kits and testing and so forth. And you don't want to fiddle with that. It's still around. So, Lisa, I'm glad you're feeling better, and I'm glad nobody else got sick. That's good.
Yeah, that's what I'm most thrilled about. And I was around one person who I dearly love, Angie Snow, my old neighbor. She's approaching 90, and I saw her on Saturday at a time now I know when I was infectious. And I had wore a mask. And she said, "Why are you wearing a mask?" And I said, "Because I respect my elders, and I just know that this is a time of year. And for that, I'm really thankful, because had I given it to her, I would have been heartbroken, you know?"
Oh, yeah. And the older we get, the more vulnerable we are, to respiratory diseases. Good for you for being so careful. That's really great. And I'm glad you're back on your feet. Hey, Lisa, one thing I want to mention about today, do you know we're closer to the sun? At 6:38 this evening, we'll be closer to the sun than at any other point of the year. It's called the perihelion, and we will be about 3 million miles closer to the sun than we will be in July, and yet here we are in winter around here, which all goes to show that our distance from the sun doesn't have anything to do with how warm we are. It's our tilt on our axis and the fact we rotate and orbit the sun. Here's another thing that's interesting. When you're close to the sun, the Earth actually speeds up in its orbit. So here we are in winter. The orbit is sped up some because we're closer to the sun. And so we have 5 less days of winter than we do of summer in the Northern Hemisphere for that reason. Huh. So that's pretty cool, huh?
It's called perihelion. I saw that on your Facebook page, and I wasn't sure how it was pronounced, but it's pretty in-depth, everything that you shared.
Yeah, I mean, this is amazing. You know, it's incredible, just how nature puts together seasons and why it is that winter is colder than summer is and all the rest. So, it's quite interesting, and it probably seems backwards to people that we're closer to the sun, and yet here we are in winter. But that's the truth in the Northern Hemisphere.
Japan has had a terrible week. I mean, the earthquake, and then, of course, the plane crashes. And so why the tsunami was canceled? Why was it so devastating last time and not this time? I think they were really bracing for something terrible.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting, Lisa. As I read it, and I'm not a seismologist or a volcanologist or anything, but apparently this earthquake occurred on the other side of the island. When we had the Fukushima reactor earthquake, that occurred on the Pacific east-facing side of the island. And apparently the subsurface adjustment in the plate, which sets up the tsunami, occurred on that side, and therefore the wave propagated out toward North America and other places. Being on the other side of the island, the wave propagated more toward Asia, didn't have as much room to run and build up. And therefore, never were tsunami warnings issued for, say, the Hawaiian Islands or Alaska or the west coast of the United States. And that seems to be one of the reasons. The island actually blocked what might have been a big wave. So we're fortunate in that respect, because the earthquake was nearly as powerful as the one that took out the Fukushima reactor.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you give us the forecast over the next couple days, and we'll let you get back to work.
Well, Lisa, we've got clouds on the way. Could be a little freezing drizzle. Could be some flurries tonight, and there'll be a few flurries and snow showers tomorrow. That's a cold front coming through, so lots of clouds are back. You know that 8 of the last 13 days have seen no sunshine around here. So if you're feeling, sad, seasonal affective disorder, boy, there's a good reason for it. We're apparently going to have some more clouds, but we'll turn partly sunny, a little colder on Thursday and Friday. Highs tomorrow get up to the mid-30s after lows tonight in the upper 20s. And we'll have low 30s on Thursday, mid-30s Friday with partly sunny skies. And then a little flurry action, some clouds over the weekend as a storm passes south of us. And that next weather system, that's the one we're really going to watch. If that's going to affect us, that would be Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday, and that's the period we'll keep a close eye on. That looks like a potentially significant system.
Well, good. We'll know more next week when we talk to you on Tuesday then.
We will.
Absolutely. That is our friend Tom Skilling. Always a joy to talk to him. Steve has your news coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Chicago's Day.